Well, hello and welcome to Logos Christian Family Church Bible Study. My name is Tim Garrison, and I am very pleased to bring you now the second week of our short series on prayer. Last week, of course, we went and we did a bit of an overview. We looked at a number of different things that encapsulated the scope of what we're trying to draw ourselves into. Tonight we're going to go deeper. Tonight we're going to see something so relevant in each of us that we would hunger and want it more and more. The title for tonight is Desiring God Through Prayer. Yes, through prayer. And you are going to see five objectives. Count them, five objectives that we're going to look at that my hope is that you're going to pick up and it's going to open the door to prayer to you even more so. But before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy it is here, Lord, tonight, Father, in front of you, Lord God, on this platform of prayer, Lord, standing in awe of your reverence, of your joy, Lord, in our hearts, Lord God. I pray tonight, Lord, Father, give me the words, Father, to best illustrate, Father, the heart we need to have, the desire, Lord God, that we need to strive for. Each and every, Lord, I pray for each one, Lord God, that's watching, God, that you would do your business in their life. And Father, as we continue on, Lord God, Father, let it be relevant. Let it be authentic, personal, Lord God. And more importantly, Lord, let us be urgent in front of you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We praise your wonderful name. Wow. God is such an awesome God. Put up your hand if you agree. I see you there. First objective, be desperate. Oh, wow. Where better to find a sense of desperation than in the book of Psalms? I want us to look at a gentleman who was so desperate for God, it almost played itself out more and more as we read through each chapter. Let's look at chapter 69, starting with verse 1, and then we're going to proceed through the end. We're just going to jump through some verses just to give you a bit of a hint of the significance of this chapter on how David shows and reveals to us this sense of desperation on his heart. He says here, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." And then verse 13, we're going to jump ahead. He says, "But as for me, my prayer is personal. My prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy. Hear me in the truth of your salvation." And verse 22, "Let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap." And then 29, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high." And finally, verse 34, we see how he encapsulates the whole chapter with this. "Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them." Do you see the significance of what David is doing here? He's showing us something so magnificent in this natural exercise of prayer. How we observe our time before God, how we come before an almighty, holy God, is by presenting our case, is by going and finding a transition in our prayer life. Do you see through these verses that we read, we're going to see four D's. One, and very first and foremost, is distress. This sense of praying with a sense of passion, urgency, needing God to break through in your life. The second one is this deliverance or this faithfulness of holding on to what God is doing in our life. The third one is denunciation. This, my friends, is put the burden on God. Here it is, Lord. I can't look after it. I need you to deal with this situation. And then finally is the sense of dedication on our heart. It always needs to end like this. The sense of finishing with adoration and praise. I mean, because honestly, we are before the Almighty God. Our place is just be able to come to Him in prayer. Means so much. Josh, if you can bring up the first slide, I want you to look at this now. Look at this now. This sense of mediocrity is a hard word to apply to oneself. It is difficult to understand that prayer and being mediocre should not go together. We have nothing to be proud of, but basically saying is we come before God humble and broken, but we need to be earnest. And we need to pray, God, please, please, give me a clear mind and make it clean. We need to understand that we've gone through a day. We've been busy. Our mind is filled and cluttered with all kinds of things. So we need to release those things and ask God, make my mind clear so I can pray to you. And then be like the disciples. Be teachable. God, help us learn how to pray. How do we pray? You know, we need to come not thinking that we are the answer to everything, but coming honestly and openly and trusting God to give us the attitude that we need at that very time. I like what E.M. Bounds tells us. He says, desire is not merely a simple wish. It is a deep-seated craving, an intense longing for attainment. In the realm of spiritual affairs, it is an important adjunct to prayer. He goes on to say, a sense of need creates or should create earnest desire. And this, my folks, this is where we're at here. This sense of desire on our heart for God. I know we all want it. I know it's important to us. But there is a process that we need to go through, that we need to step into to be able to establish it more and more. So what does it take, really? What does it take to be authentic, reverent? You don't hear that word reverent very much anymore. There seems to be some lack sense of reverency for the church, for God. Understand how we come before God. Personal, be open, be honest with yourself. He knows you more than you know yourself. And finally, the sense of earnesty, earning it, working hard, be diligent, seek Him out whenever you can. What did they say in the Old Testament? He told Moses, he said, come with your morning sacrifice and then with your evening sacrifice. Does that give us the sense to say that, well, pray once in the morning should be good enough? No, come twice. Start your day, finish your day in prayer. Believe that as you do that, God is going to awaken you to a new way of living. And so, God, how much can I do this? How much do we really want to show God how we care? That's what He's looking for. As we kneel down, as we come before Him, He wants to know, how serious are you for me? Are you really passionate to hear from me? Then show me. Let me see it in your lifestyle. We need to find that sense of awe. You know what awe is? Awe is holy reverence. It's a sense of fear of the only one that can cast you out. And we need to have that awe. We need to come before God in a sense of true reverence. And remember from last week, our chart which showed intimacy at the very top? Well, it's that sense of intimacy that orders obedience in our life. And then from obedience, we conform, we change, we adapt, we become different people. Believe it, as we continue to march through this whole process, we begin to see how God opens our heart to a whole new way of understanding and believing. And finally, how much have we really struggled? How much have you struggled in prayer this week? How much have you asked and challenged God, Father, put a desire on my heart for you, for this thing, for that thing, for these things that I'm coming before you. Lord, I need to know, Lord God. I need to know, Lord, am I being earnest enough? Am I struggling enough, Lord? Understanding how I do it. What did Jesus say when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms? It's not a choice. It's a command. So we need to be open with God. We need to believe that He's going to make a way for us. Now, second objective, participation. Participation. You know, it's far better if you're at a hockey game to actually be in the game than watching from the stands, because you experience the game so much differently than you do from the outside looking in. And ultimately, this is what is happening. We have no excuses, my friend. We have everything we need. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power. Amen. Amen. Yes, indeed. We don't need to be afraid. We need to get in the game. We need to play. We need to keep playing. We need to become a part of it. We need to be the best person we can be. And by that, it means ordering yourself in a certain way. Listen to this. I wrote that as long as we depend on our own limited resources, the world will frighten us, and we will try to avoid the painful spots. But once we become participants in God's compassion, we can enter deeply into the most hidden corners of the world and perform the same works Christ did. Indeed, we may even perform greater works than these, as He said in John 14:12. So we have no excuse. We have no excuse. We just need to be willing participants. Step up. Get in the game. Once we understand this, the meaning of prayer becomes so much more clear. It is the expression of the life of the Holy Spirit in us. While it's true that prayer is the work of the Holy Spirit, it is ultimately our decision to set aside time every day to be alone with God and listen to the Spirit on our heart. Give Him your time, please. Give Him your time. Do you see what's happening in our lives, in this world right now? If this isn't the time to be urgent and to set ourselves before a most holy God, when will it ever be? And I'm praying for the church every day. I'm praying that it's ready to step up. It's ready to take its rightful place in our community, amongst our families, our friends, everyone. So much depends on us, on our generation. It's our decision. The Holy Spirit, we live out the expression of the Holy Spirit in us, but ultimately it's our decision. It's our decision to get on our knees before God and to take on that role as an intercessor. Let's look at Romans 8, 15 and 16. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, listen now, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We have inherited as rightful sons and daughters. So let's take this ownership. Let's understand how relevant it is and our close connection with the Father. And then let's live it out. It's personal. We need to step in. We need to know and understand who we are. Don't believe lies from the enemy. You are God's child. And with that come certain responsibilities, and God wants us to step up. He wants us to become deliberate. He assures us, the Spirit assures us of the Father's love each and every day. If you're not experiencing the Father's love, then get on your knees and cry out, God, what is it? What is it I need to do? What is it I need to change in my own life that I'm not hearing from you? Oh, Lord, please, God, help me, Jesus. Help me be authentic with you, real, personal. Oh, yes, Lord, yes. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. As the Spirit resides in us, we just need to be patient and to wait for that right answer, that right attitude, that right sense of understanding what is relevant in our lives right now. And we need to know that the script has already been written. It's already been performed. We just need to walk in faith now. We just need to believe that as we move forward, God is in the forefront. He's already gone ahead. He's done everything that he just needs us to get up and move forward. And indeed, that's my prayer for the church. This week, this month, going into the harvest season, that we would get up and move forward. Indeed, forever we need to continue to seek after God. God is the only person that you cannot hide from. Before him, you will unavoidably come to see yourself in a new, unique light. Prayer, therefore, leads us to a self-knowledge that is impossible to achieve any other way. Only through prayer can we orchestrate parts of our life that are going to change, evolve almost. It's not sudden. God will never take you to a place that he knows you can't handle. He's gonna order your steps. He's gonna bring you along in a way that it all seems very acceptable and easy to follow along. But we need to react in faith. We need to know that his light is constantly before us. We need to be sure to follow it. And don't be distracted by the world and the things that are going on it. Ultimately, the enemy of us is afraid of us. So take your role. Take that time to seek after God and know that he's going to put the right meditation on your heart. You see, we're with another. And he is so very unique. We're with someone that's going to give us every answer we need. But we need to develop that relationship with him. We need to develop that time and believe by sitting in his company, God's going to open our hearts to things that we can never imagine. So God is so good. I'm so grateful for his love and hope in our life. John Owen told his listeners that they need to get an experience of the power of the gospel on their hearts. What does he mean by that? It's okay and it's good. We need to read scripture, but study, meditate on it. Pray over it. Yes, indeed, pray over it. Pick out scripture verses. Pray them back to God and say, Lord, your word says this, so I'm holding true to it. And believe by doing that, you're going to open up a whole new part of your life that you might not have seen yet. And do not go out looking for a new theology, as so many have scampered off and believe that there's new truths somewhere that have been awaiting me, and now they're being revealed to me. Don't believe a lie. The enemy is trying to trick you and turn you away from what is really true in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you experience your own theology, and then then you'll never be disappointed, because God is appointing your steps. Listen here what Vincent van Gogh, the painter, expressed when writing to his brother Theo. There may be a fire in our soul, yet no one ever comes to warm himself at it. The passerby only see a wisp of smoke coming through the chimney and go along their way. Look here now, what must be done? Must one tend the inner fire, have salt in oneself? Wait patiently, yet with how much impatience, for the hour when someone will come and sit down near it, maybe to stay. Let him who believes in God wait for the hour that will come sooner or later. We need to keep waiting. We need to believe that God is going to order the things as he has ordered them. But we need to keep up. Don't let down our guard. Believe that we want that fire to burn in it. That's our prayer, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn in this place. And I know it will. And I know it's coming. And we're going to be a part of it. And we all need to be a part of it, because God is orchestrating something so powerful here and now in our time. How can we be left out? How can we not be a part of something that's going to be so magnificent that people around the world will be talking about it? Yes, indeed. Peter, speaking about salvation, wrote this. He said, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Brothers and sisters, we have such an amazing task that we're being prepared, made ready for. Ultimately, it's up to us to be his hands and feet extended in this dark world. And I'm excited to know that as we continue to move forward, as we continue to realize on our heart how important prayer is to us, it is the doorway into everything we want to desire and seek after God. So I'm excited that God is going to order a way for us. He's going to reveal something to us that is beyond measure. It's beyond even the hope of what we've come through. And I know there's been a lot of very difficult days, a lot of trying times, but we are not alone. God is with us. Will you believe that? God is taking each step with us, but he wants us to be passionate. He wants us to be urgent. He wants us to step up more and more. Can we do that? Can we join the prayer meeting? Can we spend more time with our family praying? Don't scamper off. Understand that the principle of faith and prayer work together towards delivering a message into the world, into our families, and we are all a part of that. We all own the responsibility of knowing what God is trying to write on our hearts. Oh, we hear a lot of good words. We hear a lot of good sentiment. But nothing is so important as experiencing God on our own hearts. And I know even right now your heart is burning, because you know God is speaking to you. You know that there's something that he's trying to break through into your life, but maybe you just haven't opened the door enough yet. And I'm praying you will. Our third objective, exercise. I love this word, exercise. I love exercising. It's wonderful. If you've ever exercised, like I mean a little strenuous, running, working out, it gives you a certain sense of good feeling that you've done something worthwhile for yourself. Well, do you know that spiritual exercise works very much the same way? Because when you exercise those spiritual muscles, the relevancy of God becomes more alive in us, more relevant in us than it would if we didn't exercise. So what do I mean by exercising? Ultimately, our lives are in God's hands. Even the next breath you take is a gift from him. If he were to withdraw his hand from you, your life would end. despite the most strenuous efforts of your doctors. So the psalmist said it well. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. So why don't we become active? Exercise a sense of faith on our hearts more and more, believing that the time is short. I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to get there and say, oh God, but if I had only prayed with that person, if I had only sought them out in some different way, Lord, I don't want to have any regrets. I want to take everyone with us. Snatch them out of the fire, please. Josh, if you can bring up our second slide. This is our spiritual sense of exercise. Read a psalm, write, and pray over it. Learn how to pray through the psalms. And pray, and this is so important, with great expectation. Interpret. Don't let someone else interpret scripture for you. You interpret it. What does it mean? Don't just leave it there and it says what it says. No, no, no. You need to understand what is it telling you. Spend time as long as you need to really understand what that verse is trying to say to you. And finally, meditate. Meditate is another word for stressing over something or worrying about something. Worry over it. Worry over the Psalms. Believe that they're going to put the right meditation on your heart. Again, remember, God wants to see how much you really care. And he's going to hold in earnest everything we do and the time we spend with him. Finally, grow, 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 grow. Oh, I love to see people grow. I love to see people come to the prayer meeting. There's no greater joy in my heart to sit and to kneel and stand with other people in prayer, or even right now, to Zoom in with them, because that's what we're doing. We're virtual. But that's okay, because you know what? When a community comes together, there's no greater joy. Can I share a little story with you? This week, or actually last Saturday, I had the opportunity of finding a place in my childhood, a park, in Meadowvale Park, that I used to go when I was very, very young, 8 years old, 9 years old. And for the life of me, I could not find it. All I could remember was there was a bridge and there was a long dirt road. And I've driven around, I've been all over this area. I could never find it. I never really understood where that place was till Saturday, old Meadowvale Village. I went up Second Line and there it was. You see, Second Line, I think, ended. It used to be a bridge, but they put New Derry Road over. And so we went in and I explored and I reminisced and I thought about my younger years. And then I put it on Facebook because I wanted to get a response from my family. I wanted to see what they remembered. And you know, as is so obvious, is they had different memories. They had different they remembered different things than I did. But you know what it did? It created a picture for us and something so precious. This is what prayer, intercessory prayer, does. We have certain abilities. We're able to come and believe and lean on God more and more. But we need everyone else to complete the picture, to complete the idea of what God is doing in our midst. Oh my goodness, last Friday night was just tremendous, a tremendous time of prayer we had together. There was a sense of freeness and openness amongst us, and we all reveled together because we're all part of it. We're all moving forward together. It's not one person. It's not any two people. It's one collective group believing that we all have a part to play. So, what do we got to do then? Prayer reorders our experience of love and commitment. It's the same way we come to know God and treat Him as God. Simply put, prayer is the key to everything we need to know and do in our life. Now, until you've actually experienced God in this way, it may not seem relevant to you, but until you actually do, it's almost like when somebody explains to you how sweet honey is, and then you actually try it, and it changes the whole picture. It's the same in prayer. As we spend time in prayer before God, we begin to understand, we begin to see things differently because it needs to be that sense of ordering our lives in just that way. So four things here we need to remember. Learn how to summarize the Psalms. Very important. If you want to increase your prayer life and bring it to another level, go through the Psalms every day and pray over a psalm. And continue to pray over it. Don't leave it in the morning. Bring it back later on again. Pray over it again. What is it, Lord, you want me to see? Meditate as a transitional discipline between reading the Bible and praying. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. Mix them together. Watch how God will activate certain things in your life that may not have been there. Do all you can. Like I said, pray morning and evening. First and last. Understand that God has ordered it. God is waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from me. I too need to pay attention to these things about praying first thing and last thing of the day. Obviously, first thing is giving God control over our day and putting him in charge. And the last thing is asking God for forgiveness. Have I hurt somebody today? Have I said something, Lord, that has not been right? Please reveal it to my heart. If we don't do that, we don't know. We need to be real and authentic before God. Trust me, God is going to give you what you need if you're open with him in that way. And finally, pray with great expectation. My prayer life, and I'm so pleased with it, is growing in such that I know as I pray for people and I believe something is going to happen because I know God is a faithful God. He has said it, he will perform it. But we need to come before him. We need to be deliberate. We need to order our steps in a certain way and know that as we come before him, and my friends, there is so much to pray for. There are so many hurt lives. There are so many people that are desperate, that are in a bad place. And if we don't pray for them, who will? So, amen. Let's look at Psalm 119, Josh, verse 33 to 40. This is an example of a psalm that you can pray before God. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Pray, teach me, O Lord, teach me, dear God, please. How about 34? Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding, God, please. I need to know. I need to understand certain things. Here, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Make me walk. God, order my steps. Do you think God is waiting for us to give him permission to do these things? Absolutely. Incline your heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Believe that your testimony is a revelation that is going to help change lives. But if we keep it to ourselves, then we're not inclining our heart. We're not believing in the process that God is ordering. And 38, establish your word to your servant. Establish your word in my heart, Lord God. Do you know what it does when we pray over these things and we ask Jesus to establish your word, establish yourself in my heart so I can be devoted? 39, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Do you see the benefit of this as we go through now into verse 40? Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. My friends, we need to be open and honest before God. By praying through these verses, we're going to see the relevancy of God activating his spirit more and more in our life. And it becomes so relevant in understanding how we live that out. But you won't know it until you apply yourself in a certain way. Understand the steps that you need to take. It's all right there. All we need to do is take it and put it into action. Fourth objective. This one I believe Pastor Dino had mentioned in the last day or so, or it might have been last Sunday. Be persistent. Be persistent. Be persistent. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. There is a certain greatness to prayer. Josh, if you can bring up the next slide, that you're going to see the idea of what it means. He says, biblically, the heart is the control center of the entire, it is a repository of one's core commitment. Deepest loves, most profound hopes that control our feeling, thinking, and behavior. It changes the whole person. Yes, prayer is a striving to take hold of God. Isaiah 64:7. We don't give up. We don't give in. We believe with every step we take that God is going to bring us into a new reality, into His reality, in the reality that He's chosen for us. And I think He's waiting to draw you into that reality. Look what it says, Ephesians 1:15-19. You know, I've been going over these verses in Ephesians for a couple weeks, the last few weeks, because they're so relevant to understanding where our heart needs to be. Paul says, for this reason, for since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that, and here it is, so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know Him. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. As we come before God, this is the earnestness on our heart, the prayer we want to have that we can know Him better. This is the goal, the reward of prayer. As we build up that relationship, God becomes more real to us, more real, more relevant, more active in our lives. And so indeed, we need to keep on believing. So know the hope to which He called you, the riches of a glorious inheritance. I won't finish that. I had it on another page. So Romans 15:13. Do you see what it says here? Let's look at our little chart again, Josh, before I read this verse. He says, take hold. Take hold. If God has given you opportunity, take hold of it. Don't let go. And then keep asking, keep asking, keep believing that the more we ask, persistency, persistency, keep asking, and stay committed, stay committed. Don't back up, don't give in. Know that we need to stay moving forward and believe. Here is the optimal word of everything that intimacy grows up in us, this sense of belief. The ability to believe and then express it. Let it run rampant. Let it be on fire. Express that sense of belief on your heart. Now let's look at Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, why haven't we done this yet? Let's go. Let's get to that place where we can indeed strive together, experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know integrity plays a role in prayer? If we give priority to our outer life, our inner life will be dark and scary. We won't know what to do with solitude. We will be deeply uncomfortable with self-examination. If we pay more attention to the outer world and our daily chores and businesses, and we ignore God's business, it's going to be more and more difficult to come before Him in prayer because we put our attention on physical things, not spiritual matters. So we need to understand the role on how important we spend time with God, how we order our time, how we come before Him, and understand that as we continue to seek this out, prayer will become something so automatic, so desiring in our heart, that we will be anything but uncomfortable. Prayerfulness will eventually reveal who we are on the outside. It's not the words you use. It's not your actions sometimes. It's your heart living itself out in the reality of who you are. People see your heart. People see you by how you perform, what you do in and around other people. We can't fake that. That is real. That is intent on moving forward. It's not the so many words we might use sometimes in prayer. It's the passion that wells up in us when we get anxious for God and we feel and feel the need to want to cry out to Him more and more. The inner sense of compassion is one of the clearest indications from the Lord that this is a prayer project for you and me. I like that. Prayer project. Okay, I'm going to give you a project and it's prayer. So get busy. No, God is so good. God has given us every opportunity. We need to know. We need to keep believing. Therefore, those who live in a genuinely lived relationship with God as Father will innerly want to pray and will pray even though nothing on the outside is pressing them to do so. It becomes automatic. It becomes this sense of knowing that we just need to get on our knees. We need to believe God for something. If you aren't joyful, humble, and faithful in private before God, then what you want to appear on the outside won't match what you truly are. These are hard words, but they're relevant in understanding how, as we order our time, we can't pretend to be something that we're really not. We need to be whole and open before God. And believe when we do that, the reality of it is going to play out more and more. You can't manufacture an unmistakable note of reality. It only comes from speaking not toward God, not toward Him, but with Him. Yes, with Him. Give priority to that inner life and believe that it won't just be an individualistic life. Know that the God of the Bible better will be achieved all by yourself. The relevancy of God on your heart is becoming alive, and it's growing. That's why I say journal, journal, journal. Write things down so that you can go back a month, 2 months later and say, wow, look how I've grown. Look how God has changed me in certain ways. But listen to this now. To fail to pray, then, is not to merely break some religious rule. It's a failure to treat God as God. It is a sin against His glory. Far be it from me, said the prophet Samuel to his people, that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. 1 Samuel 12:23, which you have there. Can we say the same thing? Can we be of that presence of mind and understanding that we need to pray for each other? We need to intercede. If we're not doing that, we're causing harm to ourselves, to each other. We need to understand the role that we play as intercessors, not just the ones that come on Friday, but I would hope that there would even be more. But all of us, if you are a Christian, then it's your objective to pray and encourage each other by doing that. And now finally, our fifth objective, and I love this one. This is beautiful. Just simply pray, pray, and pray again. Yes, just keep praying. Keep knowing that as you continue to pray, God is going to open your heart into a world that you can't even imagine, because He loves you and He has a passion for wanting to grow you up. But we need to put time in. We need to sit before Him. We need to wait on Him. Don't be anxious in moving forward. Wait for God to give you an answer. And He will. He's faithful in doing that. We see examples of it throughout the Bible. And even in our own lives, we finally realize that the only time we seem to fall is when we haven't waited for God. We haven't given Him the right amount of time to understand what is the motives on our heart or what do they need to be. There are three basic kinds of prayer to God. And I know I spoke about this last week, but it's relevant. It's so very, very relevant. The first one, upward prayer. It's a sense of praise and thanksgiving. Focuses our prayer on God Himself. Could be called the prayer of awe. Oh God, You are so majestic. You are so wonderful. We love You. You are awesome in this place. This is how we need to start every time of prayer with God. And not just a few words. Stretch it out. You know what it does? It really, let me tell you. As we do this, then the worries and the concerns of this life filter away. And as we continue to praise and worship, our heart becomes more open, more subtle, more softer. We're more able then to enter into the next phase of our prayer life. So believe that praise and worship is so very important. And I know on Sunday, and I know not all of you are ready to come back, and God bless you. You know, we're praying that God will give you a heart for that, and I understand. But I just, you know, to be in the company of other saints, even with masks on and praying and worshiping, is wonderful. It is truly, truly wonderful. We, you know, the best time in church I used to always know was the sense of worship and praise. There's nothing that can ever replace that. So, the second thing is inward prayer. The sense of going inward, deep self-examination, confession. It brings a deeper sense of sin, in return, a higher experience of grace. We need to confess our sins before God. We need to be open and honest. We need to be personal. God knows your every fault. He knows where you're at. Then just let Him know that you know. That you know He knows. Be open. Ask God, forgive me. Take away this thing that seems to be in me and reveal to me how I need to confess and be open before You, knowing that I can feel free from the bondage of sin in my life. And it's so important, and I know we're forgiven, but it's so important for us to pray it out, and then we confess it on our heart, then we believe it. If you don't confess it on your heart, you're going to struggle with it. If you've forgotten it, it's going to come back again, and we need to make it right. We need to believe that God has given us opportunity to confess our sins before our Heavenly Father, and He is faithful and will forgive us. Indeed, 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 we cannot emphasize the importance of confession in inward prayer. It's like releasing that knot inside of you that's been tying you down. But once you let it go, then you feel free. Then you know God is unearthed something out of you that hasn't been and shouldn't have been there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Are you enjoying this? Amen. I love God. You know, God is so wonderful. I'm so thrilled for all those that sit together in prayer. I'm so, you know, this tonight is basically a snapshot of these people that we pray together with. They are all these things. And so really what I'm doing is I'm showing you a little bit of what I get to experience in prayer. I'm showing you how relevant it is, and it plays itself out each and every week. So we don't need to be afraid. God has already gone ahead. God has already given you the right intention on your heart. As we come together, as we agree together, there's such power in that. And finally, outward prayer, supplication and intercession. It focuses on the needs of others and the world we live in. Every day I pray for this world. Every day I pray to God that in some way He'll open hearts, He'll change hearts, He'll renew a steadfastness and an obedience towards him that so many are not getting, so many need. I know there's suffering. I know there's people dying, but there's cold hearts in the world that need to be opened, brought into the forefront of knowing that there really is a God and he loves them. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to reveal to them that God loves them and he wants them so desperately to come to him, come to him? So we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for each other. There's so many, as I mentioned before, people hurting and pain, suffering. I believe that it ordered on us to raise them up every day. Be deliberate. Write it down. Write down things that you need to be mindful of praying for. Make it your business. Prayer is my business. I believe God has put this earnestness on my heart, and I'm going to do the best I can do at believing that as I come before him, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to raise up people. And I know God is going to do something in their lives. I know it because I've seen it. I've already seen it. And I know God is relevant, and he's just waiting for more of us. Step up. Will you please step up? We need to get honest with ourselves. We're living in a world that is in trouble. And we need to be the ones that can make right what needs to be made right. And we can't back up. We got to keep moving forward. We need to know. We cannot fail to pray. We cannot. It's just not a choice. We cannot fail to pray. I'm going to read two psalms in closing tonight. These are psalms that are there for a purpose. They're there for us to know the relevancy of how we need to present ourselves before God. And they're beautiful in their scope of how they allow us to have that right meditation on our heart as we come before God. Psalm 135, 1-3. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Sing praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. Ultimately, everything we need to do, and we're going to look at verse 136, is giving God praise, is owning up to what he already deserves. Do you know why plagiarism is such an offense in schools? Because when you plagiarize something, you are taking credit for it. And you are trying to make others believe that it is your own. When we don't give God the glory and the praise and worship him as we should, we are denying what he deserves and he needs. We're almost like saying, I'm doing this, but we got to give it back to God. And Psalm 136 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Praise the name of the Lord. We are without excuse. We have everything we need. We just need to step out in faith. We need to believe as we enter into the next phase of this now our existence. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But God knows. So we need to live in the realm that he has chosen for us. And tonight now, as I close in prayer, I pray you would close your eyes and just open your hearts to him so that we can hear on our hearts what he is speaking to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time we had together, Lord. Oh God, how precious is the time that we spend with you, Lord. Father, I just pray, God, that you will continue to make yourself real, Lord, in our life more and more. Father, it's not me, Lord, any words I choose, Father, to say other than your word, Lord God. Father, it's the precept in our heart, Lord, to yearn for you more and more, Lord God. Father, I pray for a holy hunger, a holy hunger, Lord God, to seek after you, Lord Jesus. I pray for all those that are watching, Lord Jesus. God, that you would open up the door of prayer in their life more and more, wider and wider, Lord God. Make it relevant on them, Lord Jesus. God, we need to move forward together, Lord Jesus. We need each other, Lord Jesus. We need to see that complete story, Father, working itself out in earnest, Lord. And Father, help us to be authentic. God, help us to be reverent. Help us, Lord God, to be personal. And Lord, help us to be earnest. Father, help us to spend our time in doing what we need to do in the right order, Lord God, as you have played it out for us, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you for tonight. I pray, God, as you would continue to lead and guide us, Lord Jesus, that we would come back, Father, with even more a desire for prayer in our hearts, Lord. We love you, we praise you in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for this time together tonight. What a joy it is to spend time speaking about the awesomeness of God. Listen, Friday night is wide open. If you haven't given your email address to Helen Tavares at Logos Church, then please do. Zoom in with us. Become a part of our Zoom prayer meetings on Friday, and you're going to experience something in your life. But you need to be patient. You need to wait for it and know that God is going to order your steps. So please, I'm inviting you. I'm asking you, join us. And then, of course, Sunday, if you haven't registered for Sunday service, please do. We'd love to see you. So on that note, God bless you all. We love you. We thank you. To God be the glory. Amen.